Hello. I'm blessed in you. You have something that you want to share with us and you want to give God some glory? Michal, put on number one. Number one. Oh, okay, where is it plugged in? All right, number six then. Just speak for me quickly.
Hello.
More.
Hello. Can anyone hear me?
You're starting to hear? All right. Okay, there we go.
The reason why I'm up here today is because I want to tell everyone what God done for me in my life, which He's done a lot, and I never ever came up here to tell anyone, which is selfish of me. So, I think 2 years back, I used to be a very, very depressed child. I used to suffer from depression. With depression came alcohol, addiction. I used to be addicted to painkillers, anything that could make me forget anything. And the time that I was depressed, I tried to commit suicide. I did. To me, it was like no one would understand me. No one would get me. I felt alone, which I was never alone, but that's what my mind was thinking. You know, that's what the devil wanted me to think. So I tried to end my life, which I'm not proud of. And yeah, I started coming to church, and I don't think I asked much of prayer for the depression, but I've noticed that I'm never depressed. I smile more. I'm happy. I got that inner joy that I've never had before. The alcohol, I was really bad into it. I'm not as bad, like I stopped completely. Yes, I had my few shares of maybe messing up a little bit, but I came back. Yeah, He did it for me, and I'm really grateful for what God's done for me in my life. It's a big change. Most of these people know me personally. My mom, I put her through hell. I did. And I just want to say thank you to you for putting up with my nonsense. And God for changing me for the better.
Amen. Well, praise God.
Amen.
And you look a lot better.
I do.
Yeah, you do smile a lot more. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
I've been, I did ask Rian a couple of times to pray for my son, Roberto. He was very, very far away from his mind, very lost. And God listened to his prayer. He's been changing. He started to communicate. He asked me, Mommy, how's your church? How's your day? Where are you going? He was never like that before, never. It was always quiet, quiet. And now he started talking to me. Last Sunday when I got home, I was surprised. I smelled food. I thought it was the neighbors. And in the meantime, he's busy cooking. I was so, wow. And then I told my son, that's the way you have to change. Put your foot down and change. Then he opened his heart. The words and the things that comes out of his mouth, my tears just ran. I couldn't believe the pain he was going through. But I'm glad everything is going so far. Friday, I found my mom. She told me something I never heard before in my life. I've got a good heart. I was so, wow, things are changing so slowly. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling blessed. I feel great. Thank you, Rian.
Thank you,
each one to support. Thank you very much. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, it's always a good day when we have testimonies and people can give God glory and give God praise. Amen? That shows us that we serve a living God. You know, we're not bowing down to some worthless statue. We're not worshiping a moon that is here today and gone tomorrow. We worship the one and only true God. He is real. He is alive. And he still changes people's lives today. Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about something that's going a bit in a different direction to some of the things that I've been talking about. You know, the last couple of weeks we've touched on how the devil works, what the devil does, etc., etc. How many of you know that the devil is real? How many of you know that if he has the opportunity, he's going to try and bring a lot of problems into your life? And you know, the sad thing is, the Bible says, give the devil no place. The devil only messes with us if we tend to give him place in our lives. And sometimes we do give him place. Spuggy, if you don't mind, I would like to take something from what you said. You spoke about alcohol. You know, one of the things that gives the devil a lot of place is, unfortunately, alcohol. You know, I can't say to you that alcohol is completely bad, but I can say this to you, when you abuse it, you give the devil place because you are not in control of your thinking. You are not in control of your mind anymore. And if you lose control, you know, the Bible warns us, take captive every thought. In other words, stay in charge, stay in control of your mind, because if you allow it to go somewhere, something else will begin to control it. And if the enemy comes and he sees that you have a problem in that area, he will start controlling your life. And let's just ask this question. How many of you have done some really stupid things under the influence of alcohol? Okay. Now, let me just tell you that you were not under the influence of alcohol. You were under the influence of a demon by the name of Bacchus. And Bacchus has one mission in life, and that is to destroy your life. And the more you come under the influence of that demon, the more he will destroy your life. Hence, the Bible says, give the devil no place. We can give the devil a lot of place with a lot of things. Through addiction, we give him place. Drug abuse, we give him place. Sexual immorality, we give him place. Addiction to pornography gives him place. There's a lot of things that gives him place. And the thing is, the devil doesn't walk around like this big 8-foot monster. Red eyes, scales, fangs, dripping blood. He doesn't. He works behind the scenes. But the more we open doors for him, the more power he gets over our life, and the more he uses that to actually really hurt us and destroy the people close to us. Today I want to share with you a little bit of good news. Not a little bit, a lot. You know, it's not just a bad picture. There's also a lot of good that the Bible has to say. There are such things as curses. They are real, whether you like it or not, whether you believe in them or not. I don't care. You don't have to take my word for it, but you better listen to what the Word of God says, because the Word of God is truth, and the truth is the only thing that can set you free. Now, here's the thing. If curses are real, then we have to accept that blessings are real too. Amen? And it's a good thing for us to know that there is not just such a thing as a curse walking after me, trying to get to me. There is also the blessing of God available to me. Let me ask a question. How many of you in this place today would like to be blessed? I was expecting a much better reaction than that. There we go. All right, let's do the Mexican wave from the... That's all right. Yes, I would like to be blessed. With all due respect, I don't want to live under the curse. Yes, there's been a lot of things in my life that even I've had to deal with, but it's not nice to be under the curse. It's dark, it's destructive, it brings death, it brings decay, and it brings problems. But the blessing of God is different, and the blessing of God is available to you right here, right now, and today I want to share with you about that. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, after God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and they wandered around in the desert for 40 years, God led them to two mountains. One was called Mount Gerizim and the other one was called Mount Ebal. And on Mount Gerizim, God pronounced blessings upon his people. And on Mount Ebal, God pronounced curses upon his people. God got Moses to call the six leaders from the six tribes to stand on Mount Gerizim and pronounce the blessings of God that would come upon his people for obedience. And then he called another six leaders from another six tribes, and he put them on Mount Ebal, and he had them pronounce the following curses that would come because of disobedience. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God, and if you carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, then the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. I'm going to repeat that, and I want you to listen carefully because God wants to speak to you today. You all raised your hands and you said, I want more of God's blessing. Now, you know what? The blessing of God is conditional. And if you don't understand what God requires of you for you to be in a place that you can receive the blessing, then you can ask him and ask him and ask him for the blessing, but you will never have it because you are not in the place to receive it. Amen? He says, yeah, if you fully obey the Lord your God, and if you carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. I want to leave you with this thought, and I want to say to you that, you know what, we are all the same. You know, God is not a respecter of man. We're all the same. I'm no better than you. You know better than me, but some people are higher than other people. Oh, but Rion, how can you say that? Because listen to what the scripture says. The scripture says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, and if you carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Even though we all created equal, we're not all on the same level. And it is possible for you to come out of the pit that you are in right now. And let me say that there's a lot of you that I know that I know that I know that right now you are more in the pit than on the mountain. And it's for you to get out of that pit, but something with you is going to have to change. I'm no different than you, but I can be on a higher level than you. You're no different to me, but you can be on a higher level than me. And you know what? When God begins to exalt you, things begin to change. The blessing of God makes you stand out in the crowd. It brings godly favor and it elevates you above the people surrounding you. Imagine if you were at your workplace and the blessing of God was upon your life and you were constantly elevated above the people surrounding you. Not meaning that you are a kiss-ass or you're running up there and you're trying to be nice to the boss and you know what, apple polisher. It just simply means that there is something about you that gets the boss to look at you in a different way. He notices what you do a lot more than what the other people do. What is the difference between you and the other people? It's simply called the favor of God. The favor of God is something that emanates from you, that works with you, and that ultimately works for you and begins to propel you forward. When it's time for increase, probably the others will get 8% and you'll get 12. When it's time for somebody to go up the corporate ladder, you will be the one that gets chosen and the other people will not. Why? Not because you're better than them, but because you have been exalted above them. And exaltation is something that only God can do. You cannot be exalted by bribing people. You cannot be exalted by giving false compliments or being a hypocrite. You can only be exalted if God's favor is upon you. The blessing of God comes upon you. And God slowly but surely begins to exalt you and cause people to see you in a different way. It may be true that God doesn't have favorites, but one thing is clear. Some people in God's eyes will always be higher than others, and this is based solely on their obedience to God and their experience of God's blessing. The one thing we should all take heed of is that even though all these blessings are available to every child of God, the blessings of God are conditional. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, please note, your blessing is conditional. Okay, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that you cannot say to me, but Rian, you don't understand. I'm a child of God. I should be blessed. Because I can show you many people that claim to be children of God and there's no blessing in their life whatsoever. The blessing of God doesn't come through your association with God. It doesn't even come through your relationship status with God. You can experience salvation because of your relationship with God, but even saved people aren't always blessed people. There's people that one day they'll go to heaven, but down here they're going to suffer. How do we fix that? There's only one way. We need to change. You don't have the blessing of God. unless you obey God. Deuteronomy 28 verse 3 says, you will be blessed in the city and you will be blessed in the country. So what does that mean? That means that no matter where you go, no matter where you find yourself, the blessing of God will be with you, whether you are in Gauteng, whether you are in Springs. Yes, Georgie, even in Springs, people can be blessed. Amen? Praise God. You know, there's some of you that live out there in the deep south. The world doesn't expect much of you, but God can bless you and exalt you. No, that's just the way it is. People speak bad about the south all the time. But there's a lot of good in the south. And if God blesses you, then you are blessed. Amen? It doesn't matter where you come from, and it doesn't matter where you're going. The blessing of God will be with you. In Gauteng, in Bloemfontein, in South Africa, or in Europe, you will be blessed in everything that you do, everywhere you go. The blessing of God is something supernatural. Now, I want you to listen to me. The blessing of God cannot really be explained. If I could explain it to you, it wouldn't be supernatural. It is supernatural. It doesn't have to make sense to you. You just have to have faith in it and believe in it because it is real. You know what? It's like salvation. How do I prove salvation to you? I really can't. Because you see, it's not like I'm going to be there one day when you die to say, no, 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 no. You see, I told you. You have to believe. And when you believe, you begin to experience. Now, it's the same with the blessing of God. I want you to look at your neighbor and you say to them, listen carefully. The blessing of God is real. But it's supernatural. Now that's good news. Because you see, there's a lot of problems that we face every day. That unless we have access to the supernatural power of God, we cannot overcome them. You know, sometimes we come up against things that there's no way that we can actually conquer them in the natural unless we have the supernatural power of God that just propels us either through it or over it. And that's called the blessing of God. The blessing of God is something supernatural. It is not coupled to the inflation rate. It is not coupled to the gold price. It is not coupled to recession or the petrol price or even corrupt governments. Isn't that amazing? That means there's hope for us here in South Africa. We don't all have to immigrate. Because if the blessing of God is upon your life, even in this country, you're going to go forward, not backward. The blessing of God works for you behind the scenes. It brings forth prosperity, favor, healing, victory, abundance, goodness, and a whole list of other things that I'm sure you can figure out for yourself. Deuteronomy 28 verse 4 says, the fruit of your womb will be blessed. And the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Who of you wants the best for your children? Okay, if you haven't got children yet, who of you would want the best for your children one day when you have? Let Louisa please note that her son wants the best for his children. I hope you don't have children on the way yet. Please don't tell your mother that today, because that's going to destroy a lot of... Can we quickly go talk outside? Okay, listen to what the scripture says. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. What is the fruit of your womb? The fruit of your womb can only be one thing. It is your children. Now listen to this. Any parent wants the best for their children. You know, we work hard because we want to give them a good life. We want them to have the opportunities that we didn't have. We want them to prosper. We want them to be settled in life. We want them to be victorious in the things that they do. But I want you to understand something. Without God's blessing, you can go above and beyond the call of duty. You can do as much as you can for your children. And I want to say something to you. It's going to make no difference because they will have a mediocre life. There is really only one way to ensure that your children will one day have the blessed life that right now you are probably trying to work hard to achieve for them. And it's got nothing to do with what you leave them. It's got to do with the supernatural power of God that you bless them with. How many times have we not seen that you have a father or a mother or a couple that have worked very hard and they've accumulated a lot of wealth? And they've left it for their children so that their children would be blessed. And then what happens when the children inherit it? they destroy it like that. Boom, it's gone. Why? Because the children are not blessed. Because the parents, you know what, hard work will sometimes bring you something. But unless the blessing of God is upon your life, you will not be able to contain it. You will not be able to maintain it. And if you leave wealth to your children, but not the blessing of God to your children to accompany it, that wealth will just run through their fingers. The devil will have a field day with them, and their life will still end up in destruction. I want you to see something here that is very, very, very important. Listen to this carefully. The way you live your life will directly influence your children's future as well as your own. And a lot of people don't understand that. But the things that you are doing with your life right now is impacting your children and your children's future. So therefore, if you truly mean what you say, when you say that you want your children to be blessed, then you should start looking at your life with new eyes. You should start thinking differently about what you do with your life and what you allow to come into your life, because ultimately it is going to either bless or curse your future with your children. Does that make sense to you? You want your children to have a good life, you better come under the blessing of God yourself. Otherwise, they will not have it. There are many who leave their children with lots of money, status, position. They slave themselves to try and leave their children with something good, and then it just disappears. The best investment that you can ever make for your children is to be obedient to God, to live an obedient life, and to gather for yourself the blessing of God upon your own life, because the blessing is transferable. You know, God spoke in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus chapter 20. He spoke to Moses and he said that he will visit the iniquity of the children, of the fathers unto the children to the third and the fourth generation, but he will show mercy and his blessing to 1,000 generations of those who love him. If the curse can jump, the blessing can jump even further. The problem today is not many people come under the blessing because we're too busy messing around with the curse all the time. And that has to stop. You know, let me tell you something about human nature. Human nature tends to be more in line with disobedience than with obedience. Am I lying? Okay, you know, you've heard me ask this question before. Did any of you have to teach your children to be disobedient? Raise your hands if you gave classes in disobedience to your children. Okay, you didn't teach your children to be disobedient, but were they? So where did they get that from? It's built in. The flesh, the human nature, the old man that lives within us wants to do the wrong thing. Now let me ask you a question. Is it easier for you, be honest with me now, is it easier for you as a parent to be obedient to God or to be disobedient? No, it's easier to be disobedient, because to be obedient takes hard work. To be disobedient is like, oh, whatever. We've all got that same thing. You have to work at it. You have to be committed. You have to be dedicated. If you stop going to church and you stop being disciplined, what happens with your life? You start going down the path of disobedience. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, it doesn't just come. You have to work at it. You have to be committed. You have to be dedicated. You have to work hard. You have to persevere. It's easier to sit and do nothing. But that's disobedience. And then with disobedience comes the curse. So here's one thing we have to understand. If you make a decision to start walking this road, you're going to have to keep walking. You're going to have to keep working at it. And why do we do that? Because firstly, I want the blessing of God. And secondly, I want my children to be blessed. I want my children to go forward in life. The following verses indicate that God's blessings are not only spiritual, but physical as well. Listen to this, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 4 to 5. The crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your baskets and your netting trowel will be blessed. Now, this verse speaks of prosperity. It speaks of financial and material prosperity. Is there anybody in this place that can do with financial and material prosperity? You see, back in the day, the Israelites, people in general, made their living from the land. You know, there wasn't really such a thing as money. You were a farmer. Everybody was in some way gathering for themselves produce. You planted or you had a herd of cattle, and as you grew, as you got more, so you would use some of it for yourself, and what was left over, you would use to barter with. In other words, if I wanted to buy something, if I needed a new ox cart, I would offer you two cows. If I needed a new roof on my house, I would offer you, let's say, 10 kilograms of mealies or something. We would use that to barter with. Now, this is what the scripture says. The crops of your land and the young of your livestock, in other words, that which you use for money, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your netting trough will be blessed. It was thus crucial that the work of your hands give a good return, because it is the work of your hands that's going to put food on your table. It is the work of your hands that's going to put a new roof on your house. It is the work of your hands that's going to provide for whatever it is that you and your family need to live a good and a prosperous life. The blessing of God, the promise is given, it will manifest itself in the fields where you work to make a living. For some of you, the field that you're working in is you're a teacher and you're working in the school. For some of you, you're a businessman. That's your field where you work. For some of you, you're a mechanic, or you're an electrician, or you're a plumber, or you're a nurse or something. That, for us today, is the field where you work. Now, what does God promise us? What will happen in the field where you work? There will be blessing and there will be multiplication. In other words, the work of your hands will give you a good return. Amen? Now, you see, this has never changed. We might not use the barter system anymore. I don't have to offer you 5 cows to fix my car because we work differently. We have money. But the field that you work in is still the area that God says, because of your obedience and my blessing upon your life, there will be increase, there will be multiplication. I want you to notice that he says in verse 4 to 5 that your basket will be blessed. What is a blessed basket? It's a full basket. A blessed basket is a basket that has enough for you, your family, and wherever you want to hand it out to bless other people. God doesn't want you to have just enough. God wants you to have plenty. He wants you to have a full basket. In fact, God wants your basket to be so full that you can't carry it yourself. You need help to carry it. Under God's blessing, you do not have to live under the bread line or even just above the bread line. But under the blessing of God, God wants you to live in the bakery. No, we're talking about God's blessings. But yes, spiritually, physically, okay, not physically. You all know where I'm going with this. It's a good thing for us to be fat when it comes to prosperity, right? Not the waistline. The bank account, the bank balance, the cupboards must be fat. There must be lots. There must be plenty. Lack will not be your lifestyle. Abundance will be your lifestyle. Deuteronomy 28 verse 8 says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything that you put your hand to. Listen to that. I want you to raise your hands. Just show me your hands. Do you know where the blessing of God needs to be first and foremost? There. Because this is what brings your provision. If your hands are blessed, then everything is blessed. If your hands are cursed, then everything is cursed. Now God says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything that you put your hands to. In other words, you will be prosperous in whatever you do. Your hands will be known by everybody as being blessed. You know what? Let's say that for interest's sake, you have some company and you do work. Very quickly, the word will spread that if you call so-and-so to do the work, it's always going to go well without any problems, without any issues, and the people that you do the work for will be blessed in the process. So, the blessing will be upon your hands. And because the blessing is upon your hands, it will touch the people around you. Some people work very hard. They are diligent, they are thorough, and they are committed, yet they have very little to show for all their hard work. The difference between a man that is under the blessing of God and a man that is not under the blessing of God is the one that is under the blessing of God, his hands are blessed, so things fall into place for him. Things work out for him, and he is blessed. The person that is not under the blessing of God works hard, works hard, works hard, and nothing happens for them. Deuteronomy 28 verse 11 says, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. Did you listen to that word? What kind of prosperity does God want for his children? I want you to repeat that word. Just say it with me. Abundant prosperity. We're not talking about Mickey Mouse prosperity here. We're talking about serious prosperity. Amen? We're talking about big, big prosperity. That's what God wants for you. Raise your hands and say, these hands are destined for abundant prosperity. That is the blessing of God. That is the blessing of God. The word prosperity is defined as the condition of being successful or thriving, especially in economic well-being. So, being prosperous means to be successful. Then I want you to think about that. What exactly does abundant prosperity means? Abundant prosperity simply means that you will have lack in no area of your life. You will not have lack financially. You will not have lack emotionally. You will not have lack physically. You will not have lack spiritually. You will not have lack in your relationships. In other words, in every area that you can think of your life, you will have more than enough. You will always be able to hand out, and you will never come up short yourself. Abundant prosperity is not a myth. Abundant prosperity is a biblical fact. There's just not that many people that get to the place that they experience it. But let me tell you something. Whether we experience it or not depends on us. Because it's available. Abundant prosperity is available to everybody in this room today. But I want to say to you again, it is conditional. It is conditional to how obedient you and I are to God. How much we listen to the voice of God and to the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you a question. Let's just make it real. How many things in your life has God been speaking to you about for a long time? You see, I don't know you, and I don't know what's in your heart, and I don't know what's in your mind. But I want you to think, and I want you to think clearly. You know when God speaks to you about something. Maybe it's something about your attitude. Maybe it's something in your personality. Maybe it's got to do with the way you speak or the way you treat people or whatever. But let's say God has been speaking to you over and over and over again, but you don't listen. Are you obedient? And if you are not obedient, let me ask the question. We all want this abundant prosperity, but can you have abundant prosperity if you are disobedient? No. You see, when God speaks to us, either through His Word, or sometimes He speaks to us directly in our hearts, sometimes God touches your heart and He says, I don't like what you're doing. I want you to change. I want things to be different. If we ignore God, we are no longer obedient. What comes because of disobedience? When we are disobedient, the curse comes upon our life. And you know what? Sometimes we have this thing, oh, but you know, God is very unfair because so-and-so and so-and-so have these things and I have nothing. No, God is not unfair. God honors His word. If the word of God says disobedience will bring the curse, God doesn't have to do nothing. It's already, it's settled. The kingdom of God will just kick in and go into action. How do we get to the place of abundant prosperity? We need to begin to hear the word of God and do the word of God. Do you remember the story of the two builders? There was a wise builder and a foolish builder. The wise builder heard the word of God and obeyed the word of God, and his house went up and stayed strong. The foolish builder heard the word of God and did nothing about it, did not honor it, did not respect it, and he also built a house. But when the storm came, his house collapsed. Isn't that a curse? A lot of people work hard, and they build, and then just when they get to the place where now they're going to start reaping, a storm comes and everything falls apart. What is the problem? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, the problem is attitude. If our attitude is wrong, instead of our house being secure, our house begins to fall apart. Disobedience will bring the curse. Obedience will bring the blessing. You know the things that God has been speaking to you about. Whether they're small or whether they're big, it doesn't matter. What God wants from us is a commitment to be obedient. If God speaks to you about something in your life, even if it costs you a price, be obedient, for God will bless you. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 12 says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from no one. Here is one of the most important concepts that you have to grasp today. When your life comes under the blessing of God and prosperity touches everything you put your hands to, then the source of that prosperity is God's own storehouse in heaven. And you see, this is where we sometimes battle. Because we see the economy, we see the problems, we see the bad exchange rate, whatever, and we're like, oh, it's going to be a bad year. No. Where does your blessings come from? Let me read you the scripture again. Listen. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. I want to ask you a question. Where does your blessings come from? Does your blessings come from your boss? Does your blessings come from your suppliers or the people that you have contracts with or from the government or any? Where does your blessings come from? This country can be going through the worst financial time in the last 50 decades. And you can still have the best return of your work. Because the blessing does not come from the government. It does not come from the country. The floodgates of heaven opens up and the blessings come from above. Do you believe that God has any lack? God has no lack. Do you think God has a problem giving you a 20% increase or a 50% increase if He feels like it? God speaks one word and it's released. Boom. The question is, are you meeting the condition? What is the condition? The condition is obedience. When your life comes under the blessing of God and prosperity touches everything you put your hands to, then the source of that prosperity is God's own storehouse in heaven. It's not the economy that will determine your blessing, but the storehouse of God in heaven. And I want you to notice again how important your hands are. They are the instruments through which the blessing of God flows. Now, some of you have been here and some of you have seen what happens. Let me help you to understand. When your hands are blessed, there is something, forgive me for using this word, but if I use this word, it will, sorry, I want you to take them back because they're distracting everybody. Please take them into the back room. Sorry. If your hands are blessed, there's something magical on your hands. Whatever you touch goes forward. Whatever you work with multiplies. Amen? But if your hands are cursed, they work and they work and they work and they work and they have nothing to show for it. When we pray for people, and we pray for people for these things to happen, many times when people hold their hands and we start praying, the hands start going all funny. Their hands will go all stiff. Their hands will go something to this effect. And it's almost like you cannot receive. I see that, yeah. I see that. Okay. The devil knows what we use to receive with. We use our hands. He knows what we use to work with. We use our hands. Many people's hands are cursed. I can give you probably 100 different reasons why your hands could be cursed, but I want to say to you again, just because you are a child of God doesn't mean that you cannot come under any curse. Even as children of God, we come under a curse. Because we've sometimes given place to the devil. We've sometimes opened doors that we shouldn't open. And even though God wants to bless you, the fact that you got saved didn't deal with the curse. The fact that you're going to be obedient and actually deal with the curse will get you to conquer the curse. I sometimes see the curse on the hands like a bit of a glove. If I put, you know, these very thick gloves that you wear like overseas countries, like in Europe where it's very, very cold. When you've got that glove on, there's a lot of things that you can't take. You can't feel detail. It's like, okay, I can pick up a box, but something small is very difficult because it's too thick, it's too bulky. And the curse is like something that comes and covers your hands, it covers your fingers, so that when you want to grasp and you want to touch that which God says is yours in prosperity, there's always this barrier between you and it, and you can't receive. And that has to come off. But now I also want to say something else to you. It doesn't help. We pray for you for that to come off, but you don't change your heart, because the key to breaking the curse is and always will be obedience. If you are not obedient, it doesn't help you come for prayer and it's like, oh, pastor, pray for me because things in my life are not going well and I want the blessing of God. If you are disobedient, you first have to change your heart, because the blessing can't come until you come to a place of obedience. When you come under God's blessing, you will have the abundant prosperity to lend to nations, but you yourself will never have to borrow. The next great manifestation of God's blessing can be summed up as victory. Raise your hands if you believe that you need victory in some area of your life. Listen carefully. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7. The Lord will grant that the enemies that rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but they will flee from you in seven. I want to say something here that probably some of you are not going to like. But it's a biblical fact. Everybody has enemies. You have. Jesus had his fair share of enemies. And I want to say something to you. You know better than him, and I'm no better than him. Jesus said, we are no better than the Master. There's a lot of evil people in this world. There's a lot of people who harbor bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and rage and, you know what, gossip and slander and backstabbing and jealousy towards us. And in the end, Whether you like it or not, if you feel that way about me, then you are my enemy because you're definitely not my friend. You don't want me to go forward. You want me to go backwards. So everybody, no matter who you are, we have some enemies. Satan has no problem using such people against you. And also, there are obviously those who worship money and then they want money, so they will use crime and they will use corruption to try and get to. Here's just a thought. People sometimes look at someone who has enemies and they see that as a sign that obviously this person can't be very godly because look how many enemies they've got. I want you to listen to me. That's got nothing to do with it. Sometimes when we truly want to worship God, when we truly want to live close to God, the enemies just come out of the woodwork from everywhere. Why? Because the devil wants to use them to discourage us, to frustrate us, to frustrate the plans that God has in our life. I'm trying to tell you that just because you serve God doesn't mean that you are going to be excluded from these things. And sometimes it frustrates us, and I understand that. But by the grace of God, we have a way of dealing with this stuff. Even a blessed man has enemies. But the blessing in your life, the true blessing in your life, will lead you to a place of victory. God's blessing in your life causes an anointing to come upon you that antidotes, annihilates, destroys, decimates, and scatters your enemies. You know, the scripture said the enemies will come at you from one direction and they will flee from you in seven directions. That's how God gives victory. You know, I want you to see it like Mike Tyson punching, who can I use? Jerry Springer. There's going to be nothing left of him. And that's how God wants you to have victory over the enemies. And by this, please understand me. I'm not saying you must walk up to your enemy and smash them in the face. I'm saying to you in a spiritual sense, that is the kind of victory that God wants to give you. The enemy will come in one direction. But by the time the anointing and the power of God upon your life is finished with what's coming against you, it will scatter in seven directions. In other words, it will be completely broken down. Now I want to ask you a question. Who of you have enemies? We all do, don't we? We have enemies, but God says He will give us victory over our enemies. Amen. God's blessing, listen to this, this is important. God's blessing will not stop your enemy from coming against you, but God's blessing will turn their plans into rubble. The Bible says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Okay, so much for people. We know that some of them can have bad hearts and they can be full of nonsense and sometimes they don't want the best for us. But are they the only enemies that we face? Is it just people out there that wants us to battle? Is it just people out there that wants us to go down into the pit? No. You see, unfortunately, there are people out there that lend themselves to the devil to be used by him to give us a hard time. But ultimately, here's the problem. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be self-controlled and be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in your faith. Let's look at that scripture. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You see, the devil doesn't like you, and the devil doesn't like me. There's always some demon out there looking for an opportunity to get close to us. Sometimes they get close to us through people. Sometimes they get close to us through circumstances. Sometimes they just take a chance. But they want to try and come against us. And that is also your enemy. Perhaps the greatest enemy we all face is Satan, his demons and evil spirits that are definitely out to try and destroy us. One of the greatest benefits of being under the blessing of God is the ability to defeat demons, evil spirits, witchcraft, sorcery, whatever you want to call it. And once again, do not be fooled into believing that just because you are under the blessing, demons will leave you alone. Because that's a fallacy. In fact, I want to tell you, the more you manifest the blessing of God, the more they will come for you because they don't want you to be in that place. But here's the good news. Say again. Oh, well, that's what they want. Demons have no life. The more blessed I am, the more life I have. The more there is for them to want to steal from me. Are they going to come? Yes, they are going to come. Must I fall apart because of it? No, because part of the blessing of God is victory over my enemies. You see, they're going to come and I'm going to be victorious. Why? Because God's blessing is upon my life. You see, you need to get to the place that you truly live under the blessing of God, because then every time the enemy comes against you, you will be victorious and even more blessed. The blessing of God will give you the ability to scatter the enemy in seven directions and defeat them. But then I want to add a little something. That is only if you choose to fight. You see, here's one of the weird things about Christian people. It looks like we're allergic to fighting. And I'm not talking about fighting with your brother or your sister or your husband or your wife or your uncle or your auntie. I'm talking about fighting the devil. It's like people have this thing that, oh, but you know what, because I'm a Christian, God must sort these things out. And you know what, I have to be under the grace of God. I have to be victorious in everything. Yes, you can be. But there's a condition. You know, the condition to God's blessing is God wants you to be obedient. The condition to victory is God wants you to fight. People that don't want to fight never get victory. Sometimes you got to put your foot down and fight the devil. Sometimes you have to resist the devil. You know, the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If I come and I begin to push you around and you don't push me back, then I'm going to just keep pushing you more and more because I can see that it's easy. But maybe if you resist a bit, I'll think, oh, this is not going the way I thought. Let me back off a bit. That's exactly how the devil works. There are too many Christians, there are too many believers that let the devil walk over them and they never put their foot down. You know the word authority. Authority is something that God gives to all of us. But authority means nothing if you don't use it. If you don't rise up and say to the devil, listen, yeah, you stop this nonsense right now. I take authority over you and I command you to go. Then you're not using your authority. And if you don't use your authority, you will not have victory. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. No demon gets defeated by just God's anointing. The anointing is given to you to fight with. Imagine if I have a sword, a beautiful sword, a phenomenal, amazing, and wonderful sword. And the enemy comes and I have this attitude, watch my sword, check, 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 it's nice, it's look how shiny it is, look how ornate it is. You must all be afraid of me. Now the demon sees the sword and he's a little bit on the cautious side, but he's going to wonder to himself, not everybody that has a sword knows how to use it. Probably I have to just check and test the waters and see if this man actually knows how to use his sword. And you know what? When they come for me, whether I draw the sword and fight back or I turn and I run is going to determine whether I'm blessed or not. We can all conquer the devil, but we all have to come to the place that we fight back. If you don't use your authority, you will never conquer. If you don't use the weapons that God has given you, you will never live in victory. And you know what, then we can't sit and complain and say, oh, but you know what, God is unfair because, you know, the devil stole this from me and he caused this problem and that problem. No, God gave you everything you need under the blessing of God to be victorious. But you still have to fulfill your role. You still have to play your part. You still have to resist the devil so that he can flee from you. I want to ask a question today. I don't want you to just answer quickly. I want you to think about this just a little bit. I want you to ponder this. How many of you believe somewhere in your life you could have opened doors for the enemy to curse you in a place that you do not experience prosperity the way you believe God wants you to experience it? How many of you believe that in some place it's possible that you opened the door for the enemy to curse you and now you are not prospering? Okay. It's quite a lot of people. So how do we fix that? It's not that difficult. The first thing that we have to do is we must make a decision that we're going to be obedient. That when God speaks to us, I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. And I know that this is what happens. You know, sometimes I preach a sermon and then the people will come to me afterwards. Oh, Pastor, that was such a good sermon. Oh, I loved it. But I'll give you an example. Then I speak on the tongue. Then it's like, oh, Pastor, I'm so glad. Oh, you know, I'm so glad that Mrs. Pochenpool was here because she needs to hear that. Hello. So do you. And you know, then, okay, I'm not going to be funny. I'm just going to say that sometimes my sermons that I preach simply because I know certain people need to hear them. But I find it amazing how the same people that need to hear them are so happy that I preached it because somebody else needs to hear them. Then I'm thinking, oh my goodness, God help us. Obedience means listening when the word of God is preached. And obedience means searching your heart. Listen, you know what that scripture says? Don't see the splinter in my eye when you got a whole big freaking telephone pole in your own eye. The idea when you sit and listen to a sermon is not to sit here and think how many other people need to hear what the pastor is talking now. You need to search your heart and say, how much do I need to hear this now? And what do I need to change about my life because of what I've heard? And many times after we preach a sermon, I see no change in people. In other words, you are disobedient because God spoke to you about things. God taught you the right way and you choose to like, oh, no, it's okay. So-and-so must sort themselves out. No. Everybody needs to make some changes. Nobody here is perfect. And you know what? This process is going to continue until the day God comes to fetch you. Every now and then God's going to speak to you about something that is not right. And all He wants from you is to acknowledge that you have a problem and say, oh, I want to change. That's called obedience. And can I tell you why so many Christians are actually not blessed when they should be blessed, when they could be blessed? Because they got that attitude. It's for that one. You know, apparently you never preach to that person. It's always like you're preaching to so-and-so because they never have a problem. Don't expect to be blessed if that's the way that you treat the Word of God. The Word of God speaks to all of us. And it's humbling to actually search your own heart and say, oh, you know what? That is speaking to me. It's time for me to change. We cannot pray for you to lift the curse from your hands if your heart is not changing before God. Stop looking at other people's problems and look at yourself. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. God doesn't want you to be worried about the person next to you's heart. You can't do nothing about their heart. So why do you look at them? God wants you to be worried about your own heart because that's something you can change. You know what? With all due respect, if Eddie wants to be stubborn, there's nothing I can do about that. And I'm not saying that you are. I'm just using you as an example. Just now he gets upset with me. But it doesn't help I complain about him and, you know, oh, yeah. No, I should look at myself and he should look at himself. He must search his heart, I must search my heart. You must search your heart, you must search your heart. And we must see where is the areas in our life where we are not obedient to God. When you come to church on a Sunday, you're not just here to hear a nice message, have cook and tea and go home. You're here for open heart surgery. You're here to hear the truth as to the areas of your life where you are out of line or out of sync with the Word of God or in just a really bad place and you need to change things. But what you do with what you receive determines whether you're blessed or cursed. Because if you sit there, it's like, oh yeah, I'm so glad number two is here because Vrachtag, she needs to hear this one. Eh? Number two, we're very glad you're here because you need to hear this one. Eh? But so do you, Mr. Wilson. So do you, Mr. Kazi. And so do I. We all have to hear this message. Obedience blesses the hand of God. Obedience releases the blessing of God. Taking responsibility for what we done wrong blesses God. Being willing to cut the rubbish out of our hearts blesses God. Repenting from the things that we've done wrong blesses God. Because all of that is obedience. And obedience is needed for the blessing to come down. No demon gets defeated by just God's anointing. They get defeated when we use that anointing correctly to fight. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity of God that releases the anointing. The Holy Spirit is also the warrior in the kingdom of God. Jesus said the following. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit is present and His anointing is present in your life, it is also present to allow you to rise up and conquer the works of Satan. But the Holy Spirit is not going to do it for you. He will equip you to do it for yourself. He will enable you to do the things that you cannot do without Him. Amen? You still have to do it. It's not just going to happen. Doesn't happen divinely. Doesn't happen supernaturally. It happens when we are obedient. And this is why some people will never be free from the demons in their life. Because they don't want to fight and they expect God to do everything for them. No. God equips you and empowers you to do it for yourself. And then there's others who cannot get freedom because they simply aren't under God's blessing. Therefore, they never get victory, only defeat. Deuteronomy 28 verse 9 to 10 says, the Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He has promised you on an oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and if you walk in His ways, then all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. Again, we are given a warning that the blessing of God is conditional. And to experience it, you need to be obedient to the voice of God and you need to walk in His ways. How many of you know the whole Bible from front to back, top to bottom, inside out? That's why you're here today, isn't it? To be taught the Word of God. And if we need to be taught the Word of God, we need to understand the areas where we are out of line so that we can come back in line. We need to be taught the places where we are messing up so that we can stop messing up and we can start being obedient. You know, when you came from the world, you had a worldly way of thinking, a worldly way of doing things, a worldly way of acting. But that can't bless God because that blesses the God of this world, which is Satan. Who do you want to bless? You want to bless the devil or you want to bless God? Then you need to know what God expects of you. And that's why we preach the Word. That's why we teach the Word. That's why we equip people. That's why we train up people in godly living. But you can only train up somebody that has a teachable spirit, that listens, obeys, applies, and therefore conquers. If you obey, God promises to take care of all of your needs and to change your life so radically that everybody will notice it. People will say of you, oh, it's not normal to be so blessed, to be so prosperous, to be so victorious, to have so much favor. Wherever you go, God wants you to have an impact on people. Deuteronomy 28 verse 13 says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you on this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and you will never be at the bottom. I want you to listen to me. You want to be the head, not the tail. You want to be on the top, not the bottom. But the way you react towards God, the way you react towards God's word, is going to determine where you are. And I want you to listen to something else. You cannot blame other people if you are not under God's blessing. It's not because this one did witchcraft against you, or that one abused you, or this one did this, or this one did that. You can only blame yourself if you are not under God's blessing, because obedience starts with you. This man's disobedience cannot push me away from God's blessing. I push myself away from God's blessing by choosing to be disobedient. Do you understand that? If you want to be blessed, it starts with you. It starts with your heart. It starts with your attitude when God speaks to you. You know, a couple of years ago, I was preaching in Robertsham. The one day I preached a sermon. It was a good sermon. It was about pride. A gentleman got up and he stormed out during my sermon. Can you remember that? And he later said to his wife, he's never going to go there again because, that oak is always picking on me. And I wasn't. I was preaching a normal sermon. I was preaching the word of God. But you know what they say, if the shoe fits, wear it. But his attitude and his reaction to the word of God showed me that his life is going to go nowhere. And you know what? I found out this week that he is bankrupt. He lost everything. And I wonder why. I can tell you why, because I saw his reaction when he was confronted with the word of God. He treated the word of God with contempt. He was arrogant and he wanted to fight. And there was no reason to fight. You know what? What's in the word is for everybody. It's not for you or for you or for you. It's for everybody. And that's why I say we curse ourselves through our own disobedience. We can't blame anybody else for that. This man was a very rich man, from what I understood. He had a lot going for him, but today he's got nothing. Can I tell you why? Because his attitude and his action put him under the curse, not under the blessing. And you know, under the curse, you don't lose things overnight. Slowly but surely, it just begins to wash away. And you wake up one day and you realize you got nothing. Because we need the blessing of God. So again, I want to say to you, when you go to church and the word of God is preached, listen, because God is talking to you. Receive the truth. And if the truth has to cut to your heart, let it cut to your heart and let it cut out the rubbish. If you realize that you are wrong, and listen to me, don't fight with God. Don't have an attitude with God like, oh, who do you think you are? No, listen, when you're wrong, you're wrong. Humble yourselves. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, before God, and He will lift you up. A lot of people are in the pit because of their pride. Because according to them, they never do nothing wrong. No, man, why do you think you're in the pit in the first place? You wouldn't be in the pit if you never did nothing wrong. But it's to acknowledge that I have flaws. It's to acknowledge that I have problems. That's a problem for some people. Because of God's blessing, God says you will never be a nobody. You will always be a somebody. Tails get dragged around powerlessly while heads make the decision. You don't want to be a tail, because if you're a tail, you are not in charge of your destiny. And God wants you to follow your destiny. A tail has to go where the head goes. A head chooses where to go. Which one you want to be? You want to be the head. To be the head means to have vision. To be the head means to hear the word of God. To be the head means to be able to think clearly, to steer. To be the tail means to be dragging along in the dust. You want to be the head. Deuteronomy 28 verse 14. Do not turn aside from any of the commands that I give you today. Not to the right or to the left, following after other gods and worshiping them. And this is the main reason why most people are not blessed. It's called disobedience and rebellion. You hear the word and you hear God speak and you know what you need to do, but your attitude is like, so what? I don't care. I don't see it that way. Ah, no, that's not for me. Such a person cannot be blessed. We all have a rebellious spirit inside of us. We inherited it from Adam. Adam had no children until he became a rebel and he rebelled against God. Therefore, the spirit of rebellion in some way is with all of us. We have to crucify him. How do we crucify him? With the word of God. When we apply the word of God, we crucify the flesh. We do not allow him to rise up. We will be okay. Amen? Whenever we give in to our carnal nature and we rebel against God, we start being removed from the blessing of God. Romans 11 verse 28 states that the gift and the call of God are irrevocable. Yet the gift and the call of God mean nothing without the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fulfill it. You can be in this church today and you can have phenomenal gifting. There could be a power inside of you, a godly power inside of you that can heal the sick and raise the dead. But without the anointing of God, it means nothing because it can't operate. And it's only when you get closer to God that the anointing gets stronger in your life. Have you ever wondered why so few people truly walk in the power of God? Let me tell you something. It's not a case that so few people are called. Everybody is called in some way. But very, very, very few people come to the place that they truly begin to live the blessing of God and get close enough to God for the anointing to permeate their lives to activate what is inside. And that's something only you are responsible for once again. It's your choice whether you want to be close to God or not. It's your choice whether you're going to be obedient to God or not. And because of your choice, you are either going to be more under the blessing or more under the curse. Today, I think God wants to talk to you about the availability of God's blessing for your life. I'm going to repeat to you just quickly the main things that come into our life because of the blessing. The first thing that comes upon your life if you truly live under the blessing is your children will be blessed and prosperous. God will take care of your children. The second thing is prosperity for yourself and for your house. The third thing was victory over your enemies. The next one was victory over demons and evil spirits. And then we had... That seems to be the main things. Can you do with more of that in your life? I believe you need more of that in your life. Here's what I'm going to pray for today. I asked a question earlier. I asked how many of you believe in some way you gave power to the enemy to curse your hands. I showed you that the blessing speaks of your hands more often than not. If your hands are blessed, what you touch works. If your hands are not blessed, what you touch doesn't work. There's a lot of things in this world that willpower cannot do for you. The blessing of God will have to help you to get to that place. Many of us, our hands are cursed. You can't see it because they look normal. They look like everybody else's hands. But there's this invisible layer that removes you from the blessing. Any curse can be broken. Do you hear me? Any curse can be broken. Why? Because Jesus did it on the cross already. But we still need to apply that victory. Today I want to pray for you. I do believe that there's many people here, you do not experience God's blessing. And maybe now you understand why. Maybe now you understand that you should listen when the word of God is preached. You should allow the word of God to fill your heart and search your heart when the word is preached. Maybe now you understand that if it's time for you to let certain things go, that's what God expects. It's called obedience. We can't have an attitude with God. We cannot be stubborn with God. We cannot be full of rebellion with God because it puts us backwards, not forwards. Instead of being the top, we will be the bottom. I don't know if you ever saw, I saw a cartoon once about these birds sitting on the wires. And then there's this one bird at the top, and there's two birds at the bottom, and three birds under him, and so it goes. And then, you know what birds are like when they sit, they keep dropping. And by the time you get to the bottom, it's like you can't even see the birds. It's just all these droppings all over them. That's why you don't want to be at the bottom. You want to be at the top. You want to be at the top. Yeah, you want to be the main peanut, yeah. Because things are going to come down on you when you're at the bottom. And so, today, I am going to be praying specifically with you for the things that you could have opened yourself up to curse your hands. And for the attitude of your heart, where you are stubborn, where you are arrogant, where you are rebellious, where you are out of line with God, for God to help you. We're going to make a choice. We're going to make a commitment to start being different, to look at the Word of God in a different light, to understand that God is speaking to me and I better listen. And He wants me to change. You know, the word repentance simply means change. Now I want to ask you a question. How many times must you repent and believe? You know, some people have this thing, oh, you know what, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I did that. No, you accepted Jesus, but you knew nothing. Now, every time you come to church, you are being taught things that probably God is speaking to you about areas where you're wrong. You should repent that day again. Do you understand? It's an ongoing process. Because just accepting Jesus 20 years ago did not fix your heart, did not fix the wrong attitudes in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking, in your personality. Those are things that in time the spotlight of the Word is going to illuminate it for you and show you where you have to change. And when that happens, you have to repent. Repentance means changing and going in a different direction. If you're full of pride, and the Word of God shows you that you're full of pride, you must come before God and say, Lord, I thought I dealt with it, but today I can see I didn't. I'm sorry. I want to change. I want to be different. Help me today. Then God will bless you. But don't you sit in the sermon and think, I'm so glad Georgie is here today because Vrachtach, he needs to hear this. I don't want that. Stop thinking about George and think about yourself. Stop thinking about me or anybody else and think about yourself. Let the Word of God speak to you. Because that's a big problem with people. They always see everybody else's problem and they always, I'm fine. No, you're not. That's why you're in the pit. It's time to come out of the pit. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand.